98.1 KZE. MK with you a couple minutes after 5 on your Tuesday afternoon. Very excited to welcome a special guest to the studio, Bridget Corso. Welcome to KZE.
Thank you so much, MK.
Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what you do, your background. You're an educator.
Yes. I teach 7th grade English at Tri-Valley High School over in Grahamsville. I have been a teacher my whole professional life, but I got my start partly in outdoor education, where I also continued to cultivate a deep love for the outdoors and wildlife and all the ways that they work together.
You're a lifelong ecological scientist.
That, not officially, professionally, but yes, in my heart, yes.
Yeah. So you have a wonderful tradition. Every year on your birthday, which falls around Earth Day, you give a little TED Talk.
I do.
About amphibian migrations.
I do. I force my loved ones to listen to it.
And we love it. This is the thing that we've all come to really enjoy and look forward to. And I mean, you know, this year we all had some gin and tonics beforehand, and I was hand in the air the entire time.
Yes, you were. You were a great student.
And I thought, you know, we should really share this with our KZE listeners, because amphibian migration is an important thing, and I mention it a little bit every year. So tell us, take it away. Tell us what amphibian migration is.
Oh my goodness. Okay. What is it not? So, let's start with amphibians. Amphibians are a type of animal, that all of them start their life cycle in the water as an egg. And they typically, you know, move through a couple of life stages, which I'll talk about in a second. But then they end their life as in their adult phase as partly, mostly terrestrial, but they also like kind of go in and out of the water. They will start as an egg. All amphibians do, in the water, as I said. And then all amphibian species will move through some sort of larval or kind of like, you know, like
teenage
tadpole. Teenage phase. And then they will move into a, you know, older teenager and then into an adult.
So from the time that they're eggs to the time that they become adults, they don't stay in the same body of water. They have to move somewhere else. Why is that?
Yeah, that's correct. So the body of water doesn't necessarily change, but they do move from the water to the land. In the case of frogs and salamanders, they will start as an egg in the water. They spend their larval stage in the water. And then they will go up onto land and crawl out of the water and become adults, and that's that.
Okay, so that's why they're migrating, because they have to get out of the water.
They're migrating so that they can lay their eggs in the water.
Yeah. This is why I had you on.
So, another important thing to mention before we get into like the mechanics of the migration, not all amphibians migrate.
Okay.
So, there are a few species that we call vernal pool obligate species, which means that they are obligated, literally, to lay their eggs in what we call vernal pools. Vernal pools are, I bet everyone listening has seen one in their lifetime.
Million hands are in the air.
Yeah, a million hands are in the air. I can feel the hands being raised. They are shallow, small, stagnant, like giant puddles, basically, or pools of water, usually in the woods. And they are very special and important to the amphibians because they do not stay water all year long. They dry up, usually in the summer and in the fall. So they have this really special kind of like flash in a pan existence that allows for there to be no fish or natural predators.
Oh, so they're like a perfect little nursery.
They are exactly that. Yep, a perfect little nursery for the amphibian guys. So these guys who need to lay their eggs in there because, again, they just, you know, did the dance for millions of years and have evolved to be doing this, they will crawl out of their little tunnels that they live in the forest when the conditions are right, which we can also talk about in a second, and they'll find their way through some beautiful evolutionary magic that we know very little about, or maybe someone other than me knows a lot more about, and they will crawl their way to the same exact pool that they've been doing, you know, the same pool that they've been going to for years and years, and they will lay their eggs and go back to their tunnel eventually, and that will be that.
Yeah. But of course, humans have come along and put things in the way.
Yeah, we're really good at doing that.
We are good at doing that.
Really, really good at it. So often there will be, right, we've got like the salamanders and frogs, and they're living in their tunnels, right? Which are actually abandoned mole tunnels, which I just think is the coolest thing ever.
Oh, interesting. So they don't dig their own. They're opportunists.
That's right. They're just like, hey, this is great. You left it empty, so I'm going to live here. So they're in there, and then they will come out, and they know their path, right? Like, this is in their little salamander brains. However, we, over the last however many years, have decided this is a really great spot for a road, right in the middle of where their tunnel comes out and where their pool is. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what happens, right? We're all at least aware of the game Frogger. So that's where we come in, the volunteers. The Amphibian Migrations and Road Crossings Project through the New York State DEC and the Hudson River Estuary Program, they set up volunteer trainings for people to every year kind of get certified and understand how to help these guys cross the road or a parking lot or anywhere that they might otherwise be in danger on their annual journey.
Yeah. And this is a springtime phenomenon for the most part, right? And we're kind of smack in the middle of it right now, I believe.
So it is usually, we will still see the guys out there moving from Forest to Vernal Pool and back because the Vernal Pools are still out right now, especially with all this beautiful rain we just got. But the big kind of draw usually happens a lot earlier in the spring. We call it the big night. And it is the very first night where a large enough number, large enough populations are making the migration. Usually it happens late February, early March, sometimes anywhere really in my experience, from late February to late March-ish.
Okay. So the big night is over for now.
Yes, over for now.
But it's going to happen again next year and the year after that.
That's
the year after that.
Absolutely right.
In the Hudson Valley, Berkshires, this area, who are we looking for specifically? You said newts and salamanders.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got frogs, which also includes toads, right? Frogs, all toads are frogs, but not all frogs are toads. Hmm. So we've got frogs, we've got salamanders and newts. There are some specific species. I've got my little field guide right here that I can
lay it
tell
on
you,
us.
Right. So I would assume, I do not know this for sure, but I would assume that in the Berkshires, we've got pretty similar species to the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, I think so.
So we've got, my favorite guys are the spotted salamanders. Don't tell the other guys, but I really love these guys because they look like a Muppet version of a salamander. Like, Google it if you're listening. Spotted salamander. They are gigantic. They get to be like way big, like bigger than your hand. I've seen some that are like 8 or 9 inches long. And they move so slow, you know, these poor guys, and they have yellow spots on their back, cutest little faces. They're always smiling. they're really cute.
Hard to miss.
Right. We've also got peepers, which, everyone probably knows them, by sound.
I love a peeper.
Right. Oh my God. The best. They're so tiny. They're the tiniest little frog. They're a tree frog. And they make, this beautiful chorus that we hear, like kind of, it's like the harbinger of spring, right? Yeah. We hear it every year. We've also got gray tree frogs who are a little bit bigger than peepers and, also a tree frog. And they also, make beautiful calls that we hear every spring.
What about those little red salamander guys? Okay. Are they involved in the road crossings?
So they are, I actually am double checking my notes. They're not, I don't think they are a vernal pool obligate, but they definitely do mess around with the other guys. So that they are actually, they are the terrestrial phase of the eastern newt.
Eastern newt, okay.
So newts are super cool because they are, again, sort of like frog, toad, salamander, newt situation. Newts are salamanders, but they, you know, were laid as eggs in the water, hatched into their larval phase, swam around in the water. They came out on land for what's called their eft, or their, like, teenage juvenile phase.
Sure.
And then at some point, evolutionarily, they were like, you know what? We really liked it way better in the water, so we're going to hop right back in there for our adult phase.
Interesting.
So they have kind of, like, an extra or, like, prolonged life phase.
Yeah. They have, like, a Rumspringa. They get to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Go wild out for a while.
I love thinking of it like that. And now I'm thinking of red efts that look Amish, which is hilarious. So, yes, exactly. Great way of thinking of it.
Awesome. We're talking amphibian migrations here on KZE. And again, the Amphibian Migrations and Road Crossings Project. Now, I'm glad you brought this up because when I talk about this, I always want to encourage folks to help with the migrations. But I also feel like it's irresponsible of me to tell people to just go out willy-nilly in the road at night in the rain.
Yes.
So this is a good way to learn how to do this safely and yes. professionally.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone who is interested, especially if you are someone who notices a particular like stretch of road around where you live or, you know, on your commute or your, you know, where you normally are traveling every year, you know, it's like heartbreaking because we're all driving and there's no way to avoid the guys
you
when they're
often
out
don't
there.
Even see them. Yeah.
You don't see them. There's nowhere to go around them. It's really rough. So if you are somebody who's interested or you know a spot, if you go on to the Google and type in Amphibian Migrations and Road Crossings Project and with the New York State DEC, it'll bring you right to their website. And there, you know, you can kind of look around. They have a video that will provide you with the 2025 training. You can also contact them to let them know if you'd like to join groups that are already going out. All the information is right there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I could give you like info if you wanted to put it on the website or anything.
Yeah. I got in there 1 year and they had you were like tracking some data for them and you could send it back to
help
them with their data collection.
That's right. So whether you decide to go out on your own or you go out with a group of people that the DEC puts you with, you will track, you know, and this is basically just counting the species that you find. So it will require being able to identify them, but they have these really handy dandy laminated at-a-glance field guides.
And there's only a few different types
of guys.
There
are only a few guys, yeah. I mean, so in my experience, we have a spot. My husband and I go out every year on our road, and we see predominantly yellow spotteds and salamanders and peepers. Those are the little tree frogs. Sometimes we also will see wood frogs and pickerel frogs. But yeah, you're not going to see like a ton of different guys.
Yeah,
it's not
going
to be hard to ID them.
Are the peepers a good clue if you're wondering like what a good spot to help out could be? You know, because we all know those spots that you drive by that there's always peeper activity. Is that a good hint?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, yes. So if you are like driving by a spot that you notice you always hear peepers, chances are they're standing water around. So if you just kind of like take a look and look for what we were talking about before, this kind of like forested area,
water on one side,
water, like a vernal pool on one side, forest, and then some sort of man-made barrier bisecting the two, that would be a good spot. Yeah.
Awesome. Amphibian Migrations and Road Crossings Project. Bridget Corso, thank you so much
thank
for this.
Thank you so much, MK.
Well,
this has been great.
Come on and do occasional nature talks. This
oh my
is wonderful.
God. Don't tempt me. So. you know I'm here.
And, you know, we were talking, what's a good amphibian song to play? And we couldn't think of a better one than this one.